B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Tes. We're going to start from the Mishnah, approximately a third from the top of the Omud. Says the Mishnah, and it's very unclear how the beginning of this Mishnah came into Maseches Rosh Hashanah, what it's doing here. And some suggest that since the end of the previous Mishnah on Daf Chof Zayin Omud Beis was discussing Kavonas Halev, the amount of mind and heart that has to be put into the when doing the mitzvah, be put into the mitzvah, how much concentration and focus and kavana one needs. So here the Mishnah is like digressing with things that are to do with the kavana salev, with the heart. Says the Mishnah that the Mishnah starts with quoting a pasuk in Parshas Beshalach with the milchama of Amalek. We know that when Klal Yisrael, they were fighting with Amalek, then V'hoyo kasha yorim Moshe Yodoy, when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands, V'govar Yisrael. That's when Yisrael, they became the stronger of the two teams. V'kasha yoniach Yodoy, but when his hands went down, then V'govar Amalek, it was Amalek that had the upper hand. Asks the Mishnah, V'chiyodov shel Moshe, Oiso is milchoma, Oiso iver is milchoma. Could it possibly be that it's the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu, whether they were up or down, is the determining factor on whether they were going to win the war or lose the war? Elolei melechah, this pasuk is coming to tell us, kol zman shehayu Yisrael mistaklim klapi malo, whenever Klal Yisrael were looking upwards towards Hashem, towards the sky, which is alludes to looking up towards Hashem, umeshabdim es libam laviem shabashamayim, and they were subjugating their hearts exclusively to Hashem, then hoyu misgabrim, then they would prevail, they would be the stronger in the war. Vimlav, however, if their hearts were not focused on Hashem, hoyu noflim, they would fall. Similarly, this takes us to a pasuk in Parshas Chukas. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe." Hashem said to Moshe, "This was after the snakes were going round, biting people and killing them." So Hashem said to Moshe, "Asei lecha sorof, you should make for yourself a fiery serpent, v'sim al oisay al neis, and put it onto a pole. V'hoyo kol anoshuch, anybody who's going to get bitten by those real snakes, v'ra oisay will see this snake that you've put onto the pole, then v'chai, he will live." And again the Mishnah asks, v'chi nochosh meimis oy nochosh mechaye? Can it be that this nochosh that was on a pole that Moshe Rabbeinu had crafted, could it be that that snake was going to determine who was going to get killed and who was going to be restored to life? Elo bizman sheYisrael mistaklim klapi malo, again, whenever they looked up towards the sky, umeshabdim neslibom laviem shabashamayim, and they totally subjugated their hearts to Hashem, who it's called Avinu Shebashamayim, he's in the heavens, but they were looking up to Hashem, hoyu misrapim, they would get healed. Ve'imlav, and if not, hoyu nemoikim, then they would perish. And now the Mishnah is coming back to the halachas of shofar. Cheresh, somebody who cannot hear the shofar, we know that shofar, the sounds of the shofar have to be heard, and the person who cannot hear the shofar, or shoita, or somebody who's considered a fool, v'katan, or a minor, ein mitzien es rabim yidei chayvason. And the concept of mitzien es rabim yidei chayvason, this is something to do with arvus. Arvus, when it says kol Yisrael arevim ze lezeh, we have a shared responsibility with each other, and therefore we have a concept of that you can be mitzi somebody else, which means that since we all have certain obligations we have to keep, which is the mitzvahs. And it's possible for one person to cause somebody else to fulfill his obligation in a mitzvah. For example, Reuven and Shimon both need to blow the shofar, they both need to hear the shofar. So if Reuven blows the shofar, then he can cause Shimon to have fulfilled his mitzvah of blowing the shofar, and Shimon himself doesn't need to blow the shofar, it suffices that he's heard the shofar being blown. And there's many other, as we're going to see, Zeh HaKlal, this is a rule across the board, that kol she'einei mechuyev bedavar, anyone who's not himself obligated and is not able to fulfill a specific requirement, einei mo'itzi sarabi midei chivason, he cannot be the one to cause somebody else to have fulfilled their obligation. And therefore, achera, shoita v'kotten, regarding shofar, since they themselves are exempt of the obligation of shofar, because either they cannot hear the shofar because they're deaf, or that they are shoita v'katan, they are not required, they don't have any obligations on themselves, therefore they cannot be the ones to help or to cause others to fulfill their obligation, which means that they cannot be the ones to blow the shofar and which would then in turn cause others to fulfill their obligation, that would not work. So if Reuven and Shimon, they themselves are both required to blow shofar, Reuven can blow for Shimon. But if Reuven is either a chera shreit of a cotton, he cannot. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Hakil chayovim b'tkias shofar, the Braisa says, everybody's required to, in the mitzvah of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, koyanim, levim, v'yisraelim. And this needs to be understood because, like, who not? The whole of Klal Yisrael is either a Kohen or a Levi or a Yisrael. But the Gemara is going to discuss that soon. Kohenim, Levim, Yisraelim are all required in the mitzvah of Shofar. Geirim, converts, Avodim, Shuchrarim, freed slaves, V'tumtum, which is a person who is, where it's not clear, one cannot yet see whether he's a boy or she's a girl, v'andreganus, or somebody who has both the signs of a boy and a girl, umi shechetzi eved v'chetzi ben chayrim, or somebody who is half a slave, possibly he had two owners, and one of them freed him, the other one not yet. Then they're all chayev in, all these people are either definitely chayev, or that they possibly, there's a suffix, there's a doubt, maybe they're chayev. For example, the tumtum and adreganus, in the event that they are considered girls, females, they are not chayev in shofar, but if they're considered male, they are chayev. Chetzi evet, chetzi ben chayrin, even though a slave is not required in more mitzvahs than women are, but the half of him which is freed is chayev. So all these are chayev to hear shofar. However, a tumtum himself cannot actually cause anybody else to fulfill their mitzvah of shofar, neither other tumtums nor regular boys, because it could be that this particular tumtum that is blowing the shofar is a female, and it could be that the other tumtum is going to be a male, and a female cannot be moitzi a male yidei chayvasa, because the female is not required in the mitzvah, a male is. So even a tumtum for a tumtum, since it's yet to be decided or determined when the signs become clear whether he's a male or a female, then till then, every single tumtum is a suffix, it's a doubt whether he's a male or female, and therefore he cannot be moitzi anybody else. Andreganus, however, Andreganus, who is somebody who has both signs, then moitzi esminoi, then he can be moitzi any other Andreganus, because whichever way we hold it, it's okay. If all Andreganuses are considered female, then a female blew for a female, then that's fine. They're both not required not to do the mitzvah, they have no obligation to fulfill such a mitzvah. And if they are both considered male, then it's okay. Then Nadreganus was moitzi an Adreganus. Avaloyas she'ine minay. However, Nadreganus cannot be moitzi a regular zachar, a regular male, because the status of Adreganus is not as clear as that of a male. Misha chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chayrim, somebody who's half freed slave, eino moitzi loyas minay v'loyas she'ine minay, he cannot be moitzi a fully free person, nor can he be moitzi a person who, like him, is half ben chayrin and half evet. That's the end of the braisa. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar. Now the Gemara is going to quote the beginning of the braisa. Hakol chayovim b'tkias shofar, everybody is chayev to blow the shofar, koyanim, levim, v'yisraelim. Asks the Gemara Pshita. Of course, why not? That comprises the entire Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, no. There's an element of chiddush here. The Gemara continues. That's the end of the question of the Gemara. If these are not going to be chayev, who is chayev? If the Torah says you have to blow shofar, of course it means koyanim levim yisraelim. Who then would the Torah mean? Answers the Gemara, koyanim itzrichalei. There's an element of chiddush here regarding the koyanim. So what the Braisa means to say that hakel chayovim b'tkias shofar, everybody is chayev, not only the regular yisraelim, but even the koyanim. I may have thought, since it says in the Pasuk, it says, on the first of Tishri, Mikra Kodesh, Yelochem, Kol Meleches Avoideloi Sasu, you're not allowed to do any work, any labor, any melachos on Yom Tov, because it's the Yom Tov. Yom Teruah Yelochem, it's the day of Teruah. So I may have thought, maybe the Torah is impressing on us that this is the one day that you blow shofar. So somebody who never has no obligation to ever blow shofar, to ever sound the shofar, so Rosh Hashanah is his day of shofar. He'll be chayev to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. However, these kohenim, hoyel v'istnu b'tkiyo yistukol ha'shana, since they are required to blow the shofar on other days of the year as well, the chesiv, as it says in another pasuk, uv'yom simchaschem, uv'moyadeichem, uv'roshei chodsheichem, uskatem b'chatzotzeres, you'll blow with the trumpet, al oyloiseichem, al zivchei shalmeichem, when you bring your oylo and shlomim, v'hoyu lochem lezikorin lifnei elikeichem, ani Hashem elikeichem. So you see that Kohanim, and it's a discussion exactly which korbanos the Kohanim had to sound the trumpets. But it's clear in the pasuk that there were some oilois and shlomim where the Kohanim would blow the trumpets while they were being brought. So I may have thought, that these Kohanim, that there are other days in the year that they also have to blow the trumpets. Maybe for them Rosh Hashanah is not going to be called Yom Teruah, the day of Teruah. Komash Malon, that's why the Brice is coming to impress on us. No, that's not the case. And even Kohanim, even though there's other days they have to blow the trumpets, that would not be a reason to exclude them from having to listen to and blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Says the Gemara, Mi Domi, you're explaining the Braisa to say that the reason that the Braisa said that Kohanim are Chayev is because I may have entertained the idea that they're not Chayev because they blow trumpets, and that would at other days in the year, and that would maybe exempt them from hearing Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Mi domi, how can you compare the two? Hosom chatzitzreis, hoch v'hoch shofar. So if they would be blowing the shofar on other days of the year, I can understand that you would have said Yom Teruah means a unique day for shofar. And for Kohanim, it's not unique. But here, the other days, they're also not blowing shofar, they're just blowing trumpets. That's something else. Why should blowing trumpets on different days of the year exempt them from the mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Elo Itzrich, there's another reason that the Kohanim are singled out. Or there's an element of Chiddush that the Braisa has to impress on us that Kohanim are chayev with Shofar. So Elkadai Techamina, I may have thought, Hoyelutnan, since we learnt in a Mishnah elsewhere, on Daf Chavav Amud Beis, Shove HaYovel L'Rosh Hashanah, there are certain similarities between Yovel and Rosh Hashanah, L'Tkia regarding Tkiyos, and Brochis regarding the Brochis, and we've discussed this previously already on Daf Chavav. So I may have thought that since Rosh Hashanah and Yovel are similar, man de isya b'mitzvahs ha-Yovel, only somebody that all the halachas of Yovel apply to them, asya b'mitzvahs to Rosh Hashanah, are required to keep the mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah, namely blowing the shofar. V'hani kohenim, but these kohenim, hoil v'lesnehu b'mitzvah de Yovel, since there are certain elements of the halachas of Yovel which the kohenim are exempt from, titnan, as we learned in the Mishnah in Erechin, Kohanim ulevim moichrim la'olam v'goyalin la'olam. The literal translation is that the Kohanim and Levim, as with the rest of Klal Yisrael, they can sell property at any time. However, unlike the rest of Klal Yisrael, they can redeem the properties at any time. And we're not going to discuss here exactly what these halachas are. There's a long Rashi here. There's a number of different sugyas in Erechin. In Daf Chavov, Daf Lamed Gimel, Daf Chav Dalad, there's a whole perek in Erechin discussing these halachas, and we'll get there in Mirtz Hashem at the right time. But since Kohanim and Levim, there are certain halachas of Yovel that do not apply to them, Eima, I may have thought, b'mitzvahs de Rosh Hashanah, loy lechayvi, so too they would be exempt of the mitzvah of Shofar of Rosh Hashanah. Komash Maron, the Braisa tells us, no, even though there's Yovel and Rosh Hashanah are similar, and even though there's certain halachas of Yovel that do not apply to a Kohen, there's not a reason to say that they're not required to hear the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and that's why the Braisa says, Hakol chayovin b'tkiyas Shofar, Kohenim v'levim v'Yisraelim. Continues the Gemara, Misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chayrim, a slave who is half freed, half a slave and half a free man, eino moitzi, he cannot cause somebody else to fulfill their requirement, lo yasminoi, not somebody who is similar to him, that's a half slave, half freed, v'lo yasheino minoi, and nor somebody who is totally free. Omer Ravuna, Rav Huna says, and it's going to be a machlekes Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rav Huna says, "Ula'atz may mitzi, but he can blow the shofar for himself." Omale Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna, Ma'ishno la'achirim deloy. Why would this be different to him blowing for another chetzi eved chetzi ben chayrin? And we said before that a chetzi eved chetzi ben chayrin, he cannot eino moitzi loy es mino v'loy es she'eino mino. Even a type like himself, a chetzi eved chetzi ben chayrin, he cannot be moitzi. Why? Ma'ishno la'achirim deloy. To be moitzi other chetzi eved chetzi ben chayrin, he cannot. Why? Deloy osi tzad avdus, because the who's blowing, his whole being is blowing. So there's a part of him that's blowing that is a slave. The slave part of him cannot blow a shofar umapik tzadchirus and cause the free part of the other person to have fulfilled his requirement. So the Gemara Rav Nachman is asking Rav Huna la'atzmei nami for himself also le'osi tzad avdus didei. Then the slave part of himself should not be able to be umapik tzadchirus didei to cause the free part of him to have fulfilled its requirement. So why should he be able to blow even for himself? He should have to go to a person who is a fully free man, and that man is going to have to blow for him, and then be moitzi the part of him which is a ben chayrin. El Amar Rav Nachman, therefore Rav Nachman argued with Rav Huna and said, Af le'atzmei einei moitzi, he cannot even blow for himself. Tani na mihochi, we saw a brisa similar to this, Misha chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chayrin, af le'atzmei einei moitzi. Continues the Gemara, Toni Ahava Bereidu Reb Zeira. Ahava, that was the name of the son of Reb Zeira, said as follows. Kol HaBrochis Kulon. As we said, we've just learnt now that when it comes to doing the mitzvahs, if you're both chayev in the same way, one can be moitzi the other. One person can cause the other one to have fulfilled his mitzvah. The same applies to brochas. If I want to eat an apple and you want to eat an apple, I can make the brocha, you can say amen, and possibly without saying amen, we're not going into the halachas now, but I can say the brocha and you can be yaitza. What happens if I don't want to eat an apple? Can I make an ha'etz and you be yaitza? Well, the halacha is, if I've already listened to shofar, I've been to shul and listened to shofar, and now that's it, I was yaitza. Can I now come and make the brocha or blow for somebody else to the shofar if I've already been yaitza? The answer is yes. Since we have an arvus, kol Yisrael arevim zeh v'zeh, we have a shared responsibility with each other. The halacha of arevus says, even though I was yoitza mitzvah, I can do the mitzvah on your behalf, so to speak. I can do the mitzvah, I can blow the shofar, you will listen. Even though I've already fulfilled my requirement, it works for you as well. The question will be, is that also true with birchas hanenin, with making a brocha of ha'etz? Can I, if I don't want to eat an apple, I don't need to eat an apple, I'm not eating an apple. Or I've eaten an apple, I've made ha'etz, and I don't make another ha'etz. Can I now make a ha'etz just for you? So that's what we're going to see here. Kol ha'brochis kulon, any brochas for a mitzvah, shofar, sukkah, lulav, afal pisha yotza, moitzi. Even though I've already fulfilled my mitzvahs, I can make the brocha again, and cause you to have fulfilled your requirement of the mitzvah. Moitzi, I can be moitzi you. However, except the exception is chutz mi birchas alechem or birchas ayayin. That's all true regarding mitzvahs, where we have a shared responsibility with each other. We all are required to keep the same mitzvahs. When it comes to eating apples, nobody's required to eat an apple. You want to eat an apple, make a brocha. But we don't have a requirement or responsibility to eat apples. And therefore, any brocha called birchas hanenin, a brocha that's made just because you're benefiting from the world and you're not allowed to benefit from the world without making a brocha, there we don't say the afal pisha yotza moitzi. Chutz mi birchas alechem, the examples the Gemara brings is hamoitzi, or birchas ayayin, or making hagofen, shim lo yotza moitzi, that if you haven't yet been yotza, which means if you want to eat bread, you want to drink wine, then you can make the brocha, and then the other person has fulfilled his requirement of making the brocha by listening to you, moitzi. V'im yotza, however, if you've already been yotza, you're not making the brocha, you don't need the brocha for yourself, then einei moitzi, v'im yotza einei moitzi, you cannot be moitzi anybody else. Boya Rava. Rava now inquired, based on this statement from Ava, the son of Rav Zeira, that what's with the time when you, there's very rare examples where eating is a mitzvah. For example, birchas alechem al matzah. So the bracha of al achilas matzah, you can make for somebody else, it's a mitzvah. What's in the bracha of amotzi lechem in haaretz that you're making for eating the matzah? Or birchas hayayin shel kiddush? Or how about making a gofen for the kiddush? Al kiddush hayayim, mahu. Do we say, since the hamoitzi in is of its own, or hagofen in and of its own, is not a birchas mitzvah? It's never a requirement, therefore you cannot be moitzi somebody else if you don't need the bracha? Or do we say, no, since over here there's a mitzvah to eat the matzah and to drink the wine of the kiddush, maybe you can? Kiven d'choyvahu, do we say, since there's a requirement to eat the matzah and the wine, mapik, you can help somebody else do that mitzvah? Oy dilma, maybe not. Brocha lav choyvo. These are types of brochas, which are birchas anenin, which are not considered a choyva. That was the question of Rava. Answers the Gemara, Toshema, Domer, Ravashi. Ravashi says, Ki avinon beir of Poppy, when we were visiting Rav Poppy, have a mekadish lani, made kiddush for us with a hagofen. When his workers, certain workers are called arisim, when they came in a little bit late to the Friday night meal from outside, from the fields, have a mekadesh lu, he made kiddush again and made hagofen again for them, even though he didn't need the hagofen. So you see from that incident that if there's a chiyuv to either drink the wine or to eat the bread, then you're allowed to be moitzi somebody else with a birchas hanenin, even though you've already been yotza. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Lo yifreis adam prusa la'orchin. This is going back on what Av Abraid Rab Zera said, that regarding all birchas hanenin, you're not allowed to be moitzi somebody else if you don't need the bracha yourself. So lo yifreis, the custom used to be that the person who made hamoitzi would take a large loaf and would break up the loaf and distribute the breads. So he says, such a person, lo yifreis adam prusa la'orchin, you shouldn't be the one to make the bracha of hamoitzi and then give out the bread, Elohim kein oichel imoim, unless you need the hamoitzi and you're eating with them. But if you yourself are not eating with them and you don't need the hamoitzi, you cannot make the hamoitzi for them. Aval peirusu, however, he's allowed to make hamoitzi lebonov levnei beisoi for his household, kdei lechanchom b'mitzvahs. You're trying to teach them the mitzvahs and how to make brachas, you're allowed to make the bracha to teach them. Ubahalil, ubahmegillah, but mitzvahs like halil and megillah, afal pisha yotza moitzi. As we saw, when it comes to requirements to mitzvahs, there's a shared responsibility, kol yisrael arevim zeh lozeh, and therefore, even though you've already been yotza yourself, you can make these brachas and cause others to fulfill their requirement. Hadron aloch ra'u ubeizdin b'siyata deshmaya, we finished learning perek ra'u ubeizdin, the third perek of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to do Chazara on the Perek, and we're going to start straight away the fourth Perek of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Perek Yom Tov. Says the Mishnah, Yom Tov shel Rosh Hashanah shechol liyos b'Shabbos. We know, as we've learned, that on Rosh Hashanah there's a chiyuv, there's a mitzvah to blow the shofar. What happens at Shabbos? Normally we don't blow shofars on Shabbos. We'll soon see, it's only Asa Midrabbanon to blow a musical instrument on Shabbos. But either way, we don't blow musical instruments on Shabbos. So what do you do if it's Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos? Do you blow the shofar, do you not blow the shofar? So b'migdosh hayu toiken. Then in the Beis HaMigdosh, they would blow the shofar even on Shabbos. Avalei b'medina. But outside the Beis HaMigdosh, Rashi says that Medina means exclusively the Beis HaMigdosh, not like the Rambam who says it means the whole of Yerushalayim, the old city of Yerushalayim. But we're going to learn like Rashi, anywhere outside the Beis HaMigdosh, including Yerushalayim, they would not blow the shofar on Shabbos. Mishachorav Beis HaMigdosh. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and now there's no more Beis HaMikdash to blow the shofar in on Shabbos, if Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, Hiskun Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a decree, takona, Sheyu toiken b'kol mokim sheyesh boi Beis Din. Anywhere where there's a Beis Din of at least 23, which is called a Sanhedrin Ketano, a small Sanhedrin, anywhere where there was this Beis Din, one was allowed to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Omer Rebelozo said that Lohiskun Rebichnum ben Zakkai elo beYavne bilvad. Rebichnum ben Zakkai, according to Rebelozo, held that when did Rebichnum ben Zakkai say you're allowed to? Only in Yavne, which is where the Sanhedrin Gedoyla was, the Sanhedrin of 71 Dayonim were sitting. and wherever this Beis Din may have followed after Yavneh, but only in a place like Yavneh where the Sanhedrin Gedolah was there of 71. But a Beis Din of 23 is not enough, and you cannot blow the shofar there on Shabbos. Omruloi, so they argued with Rabbi Elazar and said, Echod Yavneh, not only in Yavneh where the big Sanhedrin is, Elokol Mokem Sheesh Rabbi Beis Din, anywhere where you've got a Sanhedrin, even the small Sanhedrin of 23 is also enough to allow them to blow the shofar on Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to explain what's the difference between the Tanakama of before Rabbi Elazar that says, Shehoyu Toikin B'chol Mokem Sheesh Rabbi Beis Din, and the Omruloi, those who argued with Rabbi Elazar, who says, Echod Yavneh, Echod Kol Mokem Sheesh Rabbi Beis Din, they seem to be saying the same, both agree. And they both argue with Rabbi Elazar that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai allowed anywhere where there was a Sanhedrin Ketana of 23, not only a Sanhedrin Gedolah of 71, as in Yavneh. The Gemara is going to discuss that. Continues the Mishnah. Va'oid zois, besides for something which we don't know, the Gemara is going to discuss, but besides for that, there's also another area where Hoysa Yerushalayim, where Yerushalayim in the time of the Beis HaMikdosh was Yaseira al Yavneh, was even more than had certain halachas were different and beyond those of Yavneh, which is where the big Sanhedrin was exiled to. Shekol Ir Shehiroya, in the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, any city that was number one Roya could see, number two Shemas could hear, number three Kroiva was close, and number four was Yechayla Lovay was accessible, then Toikin. Then any town that filled these four conditions, then relative to Yerushalayim, they could see Yerushalayim, hear Yerushalayim, be close to Yerushalayim, and have access to Yerushalayim, then they would also blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. However, Ube Yavneh, but Yavneh, even though the big Sanhedrin was exiled there, nonetheless, Lehoyu Toikin Elo Beis Din Belvad, only in by the Beis Din they could blow, but not any place that was that could see, hear, was close and accessible to Yavneh, that was not enough reason for them to blow the shofar on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Mino Hanimili, what would be the source that we do not blow shofar on Shabbos, besides for, we'll have to see how that works, but besides for the Beis HaMikdosh, where they would blow, and according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, wherever there was a Beis Din, but the concept of not blowing shofar on Shabbos on Rosh Hashanah, where would that come from? Answers the Gemara, there's going to be two explanations here. The first one is that it's based on a psukim. Omer of Levi bar Lachma, Omer of Chamo bar Chanina. Kosov Echad Omer, in one posuk it says that regarding Rosh Hashanah, Dabar el Bnei Yisrael, Leimur b'chodesh Hashvi, on the month of Tishri, b'echod l'chodesh, the first of the month, Yieh Elohem Shabbosin, it'll be a day of rest. Zichro in Teruah, it's a day that you're going to remember the shofar by reading the psukim of shofarus, Mikra Kodesh. It's a Yom Tov where you're just merely going to remember the psukim of the shofar. But you're not going to blow it, but you're not blowing. It's a zichron. You're remembering the shofar, but you're not blowing in action. You're not actually blowing. Because of Echad Omer, in another pasuk it says, "Uvachodesh Hashvi beEchad laChodesh Mikra Kodesh Yelochem Kol Melech Savoy Deloy Sasu Yoim Troy Yelochem." It's an actual day of blowing. So you have to make up your mind. Is Rosh Hashanah a day that you blow, or is Rosh Hashanah a day that you just remember blowing? You just bring psukim about blowing. Says the Gemara, Loi Kashya. The way to reconcile and to explain the two psukim is Kan Biyom Tov Shechol Yeis B'Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, it's only a Zichra in Teruah, it's not a Yom Teruah. Kan Biyom Tov Shechol Yeis B'Chol. But if Rosh Hashanah falls on any other weekday, besides for Shabbos, then it's a Yom Teruah. You blow the shofar. So you see from here that on Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos, you do not blow the shofar. Omar Rav is asking a question. If you just brought me a source that on Shabbos on Rosh Hashanah you don't blow the shofar from a pasuk, b'migdash eichet akinon, how could they blow in the Beis HaMikdash? V'oid, another question. Halav melochahi. Blowing shofar is not considered a labor, it's not a melacha at all. It wouldn't even make sense for the pasuk to say that you don't blow the shofar on Shabbos, because why on earth wouldn't you blow the shofar on Shabbos? It's not even a melacha. That's how Tosfos explains this question of the Gemara. The Tanur to be Shmuel, because we learned by Shmuel that Kol Meleches Avoda Lo Yisasu. That when it says that same pasuk we just brought now, that Rosh Hashanah is considered a day where you're not allowed to do melachas. Only a melacha you're not allowed to do. Yotzar. This excludes Tkias Shofar, blowing of Shofar, or Odias Pas, and removing the bread from the walls of the oven. Shehi Chochma. Indeed, it may be a skill. Ve'ene Melacha, but it's not labor. So since it's not labor, why would the Torah say you're not allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos? Elo Amar Rava. Rava says a different source why we would not blow the shofar on Shabbos. He says midoraisa min haTorah mishra shari. There's no issue at all with blowing the shofar on Shabbos. V'rabbanon u'degozer be. It's the Chachamim who said don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Why? K'derabba. The Omar Rabba said, "Hakel chayovim b'tkias shofar. Everybody's chayev to blow shofar and to hear shofar. Ve'ein hakel b'kiyim b'tkias shofar. But nonetheless, not everybody is proficient with blowing shofar. Not everyone's expert and knows how to do it. So Gezeira, we're concerned. We're making a decree. Shemo yitlenu biyodo. Maybe he's going to take the shofar in his hands. Ve'yelech etzel boki." Lilmoid, he's going to go to an expert, to somebody who knows how to blow shofar. He's going to go on Rosh Hashanah to be taught how to blow shofar. V'yavirenu daladamas b'rushos harabim. And he's, we're talking about Shabbos, and he may travel, he'll carry his shofar for Amis in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. That's seriously also, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So for the need of blowing shofar, you may by mistake come and be Michal Shabbos. And therefore, Rabbi said, that's why the Mishnah says we do not blow shofar on Shabbos. V'hainu tama de lulav, is the same reason we don't shake the lulav on Shabbos. Somebody might take it to an expert to ask them how. V'hainu tama de Megillah, is the same reason we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, if Purim is on Shabbos, because we may come to carry on Shabbos. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was no concern of carrying. Everybody knew we're only blowing the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore there was no concern. And later on, when it comes to Beis Din, also Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that if there's a Beis Din, then Beis Din will tell everybody, or everybody will know we only blow in the Beis Din, or Beis Din will tell everybody that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, will remind people. We're going to discuss that a little bit later, sugyas. Either way, but the general people, the Hamoin Am, not in the Beis Din, not in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos because you may come to carry on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, this takes us back to the Mishnah, Mishachorav, Beis HaMikdash, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Chulei. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai decreed, he said that once there was no Beis HaMikdash, anywhere where there was a Beis Din, one was allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. Tonu Rabbonon, Pam Achas, it once happened, it was probably the first time after they were no longer in Yerushalayim, when the big Sanhedrin was exiled from Yerushalayim to Yavne. Chol Rosh Hashanah liyeis b'Shabbos, and now it's the first time that it was a Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. V'hoyu kol ha'orim miskansim, and as they used to do in Yerushalayim, when it came to Rosh Hashanah that was on Shabbos, they would all come to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, to hear the shofar. Here too, everybody came to Yavne to hear the shofar being blown. They assumed that this is the first time this ever happened, but they assumed that they could blow the shofar. But it hadn't yet, the decree, they didn't know whether they should or shouldn't. Omar lem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, lebnei Basera, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to the Gedolei HaDor there, Nitka. And I'm not sure if this is a doubt that he had, a question he had, but either way, he was giving them an instruction, blow the shofar. It's Shabbos and it's not in Yerushalayim, it's in Yavne, but we have the Beis Din here, blow the shofar. Omru loy, they said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Nidoin, maybe we should discuss first whether it's appropriate to blow on Shabbos, whether not, whether people will come to misunderstand what we're doing, they may come to blow themselves, they may come to carry in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Either way, you know, maybe we should discuss it. Omar lehem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai adamantly said, no, nitka, first blow the shofar for everybody, v'achar kach nidoin, and then we can discuss it. La'achar shetoku, after they blew the shofar, Omru loy, so now the Bnei Basera came to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and says, Nidoin, let's now discuss whether we did the right thing, whether possibly next time we shouldn't do this again. Omar lehem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to them, Kvanishma o keren b'yavne, the shofar's already been sounded here in Yavne. Ve'ein meshivin achar maisa. It won't be good. Just imagine we change our minds. People ridicule us, thinking that we did something wrong, we don't know what we're doing. Once we've done it, it's okay, and it's the right thing to do. And there's a whole discussion here whether this is associated to the Gemara we learned in Erevin Daf Samach Zayin. The Achrenim here discuss at great length what was going on here. He knew it was a question to start with. Why didn't you discuss it? You first did it and then you refused to discuss it. It's an interesting dialogue, but that's what it says. Ein mashivin l'achamaisa. It was clear to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that that's what they had to do. That they had to blow the shofar here, the Beis Din was here, they would blow the shofar even though Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Omer Belozo. Rabbi Loza held that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai only allowed it to the shofar to be blown on Shabbos only where the Beis Din of 71, the Sanhedrin of 71 were there. Elo biyavne bilvad. Omruloi, the Chachomim argued with Rabbi Loza and said, no, echod yavne vechod kol mokim sheesh boi Beis Din. Not only yavne where the Beis Din of 71 is, but anywhere where the small Sanhedrin is of 23, it's also enough. Says the Gemara, Omruloi, these people who argued with Rabbi Loza, Hainu Tanakama, they are the same opinion as the Tanakama that said, Mishachorav Beis HaMikdash, Shizkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shiu Toikin, Bekol Mokim, Sheish Bei Beis Din, anywhere where there's a Beis Din. It doesn't say only in Yavne, where the Sanhedrin of 71, even where the small Sanhedrin is of 23 is enough. So we've got twice in the Mishnah the same opinion. Says the Gemara, no. Ika beinayu beidina da akroi. When the small Beis Din is like traveling around and is temporary, they had to go to resolve some issue and they just went temporarily to some place but they were not fixed there, that's going to be the difference. So the Tanakama who says, kol mokim sheesh Beis Din, anywhere where the small Sanhedrin were, it's one's allowed to blow shofar, even if they're there just by chance. But the Omruloi, who argued with Rabbi Loza, they said that no. They said, Echod Yavne ve'echod b'kol mokim sheesh Beis Din. They said that the small Beis Din traveling, you can only blow shofar where this small Beis Din, the Beis Din of the small Sanhedrin, the Beis Din of 23, you can only blow if they're fixed, similar to Yavne. With the Sanhedrin of 71 didn't travel around, it was fixed. We'll see later that they were exiled, but wherever they were positioned, they were not temporary anywhere. So, Echod Yavne ve'echod kol mokim sheesh Beis Din, either in Yavne where the Sanhedrin of 71 are permanent, or anywhere where there's a Beis Din of 23, providing that they're permanent. But if they're not in a permanent place, then not. And the logic of that would be that if they're a permanent place, they could blow the shofar, and everybody would know we only blow the shofar because of this Beis Din that's positioned here. But if they're just traveling through and they're blowing the shofar on Shabbos, then it could lend itself to people getting confused, thinking that anyone can blow a shofar on Shabbos, and we're not allowed to do that. As we saw, we're afraid that people will carry the shofar on Shabbos, and therefore, according to this third opinion in the Mishnah, you can only blow the shofar where there's a Beis Din. It can be 23, it doesn't need to be 71, but the Beis Din has to be fixed. That's how Rashi explains the Mishnah, the Gemara. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.